Hope by Emily Dickinson. Hope is the thing with feathers that perches on the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all. And the sweetest in the gale is heard, and sore must be the storm that could abash the little bird that kept so many warm. I've heard it in the chillest land and on the strangest sea, yet never in extremity it asked a crumb of me. Most of the time when we talk about hope in our lives, we construct our sentences in ways that make it seem like hope is a passenger on a massive and very scary roller coaster. Hopes are raised or lifted, hopes met, hopes dashed, hopes abandoned. The ride of hope is thus a complicated one and vulnerable to the turns, twists, ups and downs of our lives. One minute you're scooting along up a beautiful hill, on the climb, hopes soaring, and the next the bottom falls out. And you crash down through a tunnel of doubt and wonder how it was you ever hoped at all. Then, in the end, I imagine one finishes the roller coaster ride having hoped about as much, as about as often as one might have despaired. We hope for things, for raises, for the house to sell, and for our kids to make it through whatever darkness or doubt dogs at their heels, that they may find their way toward being their best selves. We hope for summer to come quickly and vacation to not be too far away. We hope for someone at work to finally understand what it is we're capable of doing. And we hope for our spouses to always put the toilet seat down. Not all of these hopes are uniformly met. Essentially, the normal approach to hoping in our world is to hope for something, to attach our hopes to wanted outcomes and objectives. And this, I think, is what causes the roller coaster ride of hope during our lives as we pitch and roll between objectives met and unmet, heights achieved and depths of sorrow felt. Like faith, hope becomes a product of success, bound up in the plans we make. We hope only when it seems reasonable to do so, when the objective we've set out is near enough at hand to dare it. We hope when we can rationalize our way into it, when it seems like a safe enough bet. But in this poem, Dickinson speaks of hope as something that arrives quite independent of our mighty efforts to succeed, and sings the loudest not when we are winning, but when we are in the darkness, adrift on the strangest sea, all alone with the reality that life is often not what we planned it to be. Hope is the thing that perches on the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all. Never stops at all. Not for a moment. Not even when things aren't as they should be. In fact, especially not then. Hope, to her, is an independent creature that alights within us and never goes away. Not even when all indications point to failure and the grand objectives we've laid out for ourselves come to nothing. Now, I told you a little bit about Emily Dickinson's life to illustrate just how exactly the life of the poet and the confines in which she lived served to inform this luminous and beautiful poetry, so that you could know what kind of life it was that gave rise to words that positively sung of unending hope. in her life, as in her work, Dickinson had a hope unattached to the things we usually hitch hope up to. You know the things we usually hitch hope up to. Hope for success. Hope for the realization of our ambitions. Hope to see and do and discover things we have not known. Hope to make it in this world and to finally prove ourselves respectable, worthy, and whole. But Emily Dickinson's hope was utterly unattached to these things. It was, I think, self-standing, not rising or falling with the events of her life alone, but attached to an inner state of mind, a way of being in the world. It was a state of mind where even such a tiny life as hers was enough reason to count her days as very well lived. She didn't, in fact, couldn't wait for the world to bring things to her to hope for or small successes to chalk up and build upon. Her life was far too narrow for that. Instead, she sat there in her pantry, looking out into the garden and finding things to hope about. The world did not have to bring hope to her. She found hope in it. In even the world's smallest and most mundane corners, she searched hope out and she hung on to it wherever it emerged, which was not for her in success or even in the meeting of goals. It was simply in watching, in witnessing, and in loving life itself. This Mother's Day, I've been thinking about Emily Dickinson's particular approach to hope, hope unattached to outcome or success. And I think it's an experience that many mothers can point to having gone through at some point in their lives. Because, of course, we want our children to succeed, right? Of course, we want them to be the shining stars we always knew they were. Certainly, we want our children to be fabulous and to overcome their obstacles and become everything they can imagine themselves to be, to amaze us and everyone else with their accomplishments. But at the bottom of all of that hoping for stuff, underneath all of our ambitions and dreams of what our children might become, there comes a moment, even in the midst of struggle, when mothers are called simply to look at their children just as they are, with all of their brokenness and all of their beauty, and find in them a hope that transcends their chances for success, and a love that holds steady no matter where they or we are on the roller coaster of life. To view the world through the growing of one child, to watch life unfold in one set of hands, two luminous eyes, a constantly shifting array of shoe sizes, is to observe one's children as Dickinson observed her garden, watching, waiting, appreciating, frightened, dreaming a golden dream. Finding beauty in every aspect of one small and narrow piece of the world, finding the hope and awe that exist however quietly, even when things are not going as we might have planned them. Hope attached to outcomes, I think, is a fragile thing, a fleeting, winged creature that flies away too quickly. But hope that just is, that never stops, and doesn't waver, and sings through the very heart of our sadness, has nothing to do with whether or not we or the ones we love succeed, and everything to do with the fact that we and the ones we love simply are in this world, which is abundantly blessed. This is the hope that Emily Dickinson lived her little life with, and it was strong enough to sustain her through a great many dark nights. May we find, in our days and in our nights, a reason to hope that holds us steady. A single child, a single garden, a friendship to lovingly gaze upon. And may we find in it all the reason we will ever need to love and affirm life. Emily Dickinson did not, it turns out, need much to gain her hope in this world. She needed a window, a stool to sit upon, a pen and a paper with which to write. With those small needs met, the world was open to her. What do you need, really need, in order to hope, in order to be content and perhaps even awed by the wonder of your life? Maybe it is less than you sometimes think. Whatever garden or corner of your world you choose to gaze upon, may you find beauty there and hope unbounded that sings a tune without the words and never stops at all.